Okay. So again, we have one more topic to cover before we conclude this lecture. And that's the idea of modulation. Modulation refers to how we use our sinusoidal signal to represent bits. Okay. And so we assume we've got the sinusoid, which has a carrier frequency, and then somehow we need to change the sinusoid to represent two different, or maybe more, different things. Okay. So a sinusoid has three possible parameters: the amplitude, the phase, and the frequency. Okay. And so we're going to have to choose to modify one or more of those things. Energy efficiency is an important component in mobile comm systems. And efficient use of our spectral resources is also an important component. But what we're going to look at today is just your basic techniques. So essentially, tying bits to a change in one of these in a very straightforward fashion. And again, we'll just see that it feeds into our spectral efficiency, our bandwidth efficiency, and our error rates. Okay. So we start with this basic single frequency tone. And, okay, so it's a sinusoid. So, the frequency refers to how long it takes to repeat. The phase moves it backwards and forwards on the time axis. And the amplitude is just the size of the signal. Okay. So we can change any of these to represent one or more bits. So every time we make a change, we refer to that as a signaling element. And the signaling rate, or baud rate, is the rate at which these signaling elements are created and transmitted. Now, for each signal, you can have one or more bits represented. So if you change one thing per signal, then you can represent either a 0 or 1. So there's two different signals. If you want to represent two bits, then you have to have four different signals, one for each of the two-bit combinations. If you want to represent three bits, then you have to have eight different signals, one for each different combination of three bits. Okay. So we do get, if you're sending two bits per signal, then your bit rate is twice the baud rate. If you're sending three bits per signal, your bit rate is three times the baud rate. Again, we can do amplitude shift keying And the bits are represented by different amplitudes. So an easy one for that is you have an amplitude for corresponding to bit 1, and then 0 corresponds to bit 0. This is susceptible to attenuation, so as your signal decreases, which we'll see tomorrow, happens no matter what, then you're going to start scratching your head and saying, was it a 0 or a 1? Okay, so tends not to be used in wireless systems. The second thing we can change is the frequency. And so you have one frequency relating to bit 1, and the second frequency relating to bit 0. And then typically, again, we think of those as centering, or those changes as centering around some carrier frequency, then you either go up or down from the carrier frequency. Okay. You can take that same idea of changing frequencies and again increase the number of bits that you transmit per frequency. And again, for each extra bit, you're doubling the number of changes that you have to make. The number of signaling elements is 2 to the L, where L is the number of bits per signaling element. So again, if you want 2 bits, you need 4 different signals. If you want 3 bits, you need 8. If you want 4 bits, you need 16. So it keeps going up. Okay, so again, typically we start with a carrier frequency, and then you have a difference frequency, and you move up and down relative to this difference around our carrier. Right. So, again, for this example, each pair of bits has a signaling element associated with it. So you start at your lowest frequency for 0,0 and your highest for 1,1, and then you move again up and down depending on which 2 bits you want to represent. The third element that we can change is the phase. And so again, moving back and forth in time. And so your basic phase shift keying is uses 2 fixed signals with 180 degree phase difference to each other, representing a 0 or a 1. And that's essentially plus or minus then. If you think about 180, you're flipping your signal, your sinusoid around. Okay. Now, as a rule of thumb, the greater the phase change per the greater potential change per signaling per change in signaling element, the harder it is to recover. So, a second version of phase shift keying imposes a phase shift of plus or minus 90. Degrees instead of a full 180. And so you can use plus 90 to represent a 0 and minus 90 to represent a 1. And that's less of a change and easier to detect. Okay. So again, phase shift key, again, the signal, you have your signaling element, you're just plussing and minusing it, depending on whether you're a 0 or a 1. Differential phase shift keying, you're just moving it back or forth by 90 degrees, again, depending if it's a 0 or a 1. So we go, we take our signal, we go back by 90, forward by 90, forward by 90, and that's all relative to your current signal.
Okay, and just as you could
have multiple frequencies to represent more signaling, more bits per signaling element, you can have multiple phases to represent more
bits per signaling element. So in quadrature or QPSK, you have four different phases, which allows you to represent, again, two bits, the four combinations of two bits. Again, you can note that if you do this, it's possible to create a change of 180 degrees, which, again, we've said is more difficult to deal with. So a second version, offset phase shift keying, splits our signal into two lower bitrate signals and transmits them at a delay of half a bit. So that what happens is you're not changing both elements at once, and you know, doing that again, you get that back to a change of 90 degrees. Okay, so by being a little clever, you can help your signal.
Input signal, and if you think of it as being divided up into two streams, well, you're sending these sort of not offset, your phase is relative to both, you know, the change happens to both at the same time, increasing the possible phase shift. If you offset your signals, then only one element changes at a time.
And again, your phase shift is decreased. Okay. Minimum shift keying is another form of phase shift keying.
Again, aimed at and providing the minimum change of frequency, spacing between detected signals. Again, that just allows you to pack more in. And
the way we define
our frequencies, we can actually denote changes as phase
changes. Okay, so it becomes a form of phase shift keying. Again, this is found in some mobile comm systems. So the main question to ask here is just why pick one
form of representation over any other form? And the answer to that is that they have different error characteristics, in particular relative to EB over M0, and they have different bandwidth efficiencies. And what we'll see is that we can be trading off between those different factors when we pick one system over another. Okay. So again, what we want is as high bandwidth ratio as possible. So for any fixed bandwidth, we want to be able to send as high a bit rate as possible. What we see is, well, first of all, for any of these schemes, the bandwidth ratio is going to depend on exactly how the schemes are implemented. So R is a filtration factor, and depending on how you implement the scheme, within the scheme you're going to get different ratios. Then what we see is that for frequency shift keying, the bandwidth ratio decreases with the number of levels. On the other hand, for phase shift keying, the bandwidth ratio increases with the number of levels. But again, what you're going to see is that that's traded off with error rates and whether the error rate is similarly increasing or decreasing. So, again, the bit error rate depends on the modulation technique used, and within the modulation techniques, it's going to depend on how many levels you have. Okay, so what we see here is we have a plot of EB over N0 versus our bit error rate. So how much, you can think of that as asking how much energy we need to put into a bit to achieve a certain bit error rate, or vice versa, for a fixed energy into the bit, what sort of error rate are we going to achieve? So if we look at fixing EB over N0, we see that phase shift keying has a lower error rate than differential phase shift keying, which has a lower error rate than frequency shift keying. Okay, so the error rates are going up as we go off this chart. Similarly, if we fix an error rate, we see that you have to put less energy into binary phase shift keying versus differential phase shift keying versus binary frequency shift keying. And similarly for multi-level schemes, we see that the level impacts on EB over N0 versus the bit error rate.
And again, it's doing that in opposite ways for phase and frequency shift keying. For phase shift keying, if we fix our bit energy, the noise, then a level of 2, so only 1 bit,
has a better bit error rate than 2 bits, than 3 bits. More. Going the other way, if you want to fix a bit error rate, you're going to have to put more energy in for 3 bits than you are for 1 bit.
On the other hand, if you look
at frequency shift keying, it's the reverse. So if you fix your energy, then you've got better bit error rate for more levels than, so you've got better bit error rate for 3 bits than 2 bits than 1 bit, and similarly if you fix A, bit error rate, you need to put less energy in for more bits than less bits.
Okay. So again, that's going to lead to that trade-off of bandwidth efficiency versus what error rate you're going to experience. Okay. So there's a couple of sample problems that just sort of try and at least
somewhat explore that trade-off. So here we have a signal-to-noise ratio for a channel, and we are aiming for a fixed bit error rate. And the question is, what's our bandwidth efficiency? Do we need to get that?
And so what we'll see is that the bit error rate, again, is linked to EB over N0,
which in turn is linked to the signal-to-noise ratio, the bandwidth efficiency. Okay. So what we're going to need to do is ask, well, what EB over N0 do we need to get a particular bit error rate? We just saw that we could look that up. And then, again, our signal-to-noise ratio is fixed, so we're going to, the only thing that we can play with then is the bandwidth efficiency.
Okay, so if you look up on the charts,
You're going to get a different EB over N0 related to
our required bit error rate.
So a bit error rate there is 10 to the minus 7. So again, if we have ASK or BFSK, then you're going to need a little over 14 decibels to achieve your bit error rate.
Okay. So then we can compare that to the
signal-to-noise ratio, and the difference tells us what our bandwidth efficiency has to be. So we get 0.6, 1.2, 2.4. Okay. And you know, the question you
need to look at is, are these bandwidth efficiencies achievable? And the answer is, well, maybe, maybe not. Oops. So we can,
you look at the same sorts of things for multi-level systems. So in our second example, We have a frequency shift keying system, and you can just ask, well, what's the bit error rate and the bandwidth efficiency for different levels? So if you're trying to represent 1 bit, 2 bit, 3 bit, 4 bit, and then you can calculate what your required signal to noise ratio is.
Okay, so we have an EB over N0 of 10, and what it asks is for, and it's a frequency shift keying system, so
again, you can just read off your bit error rates for 8, 4, and 2, you can read off your bit error rates, and they are increasing with the decreasing level.
And similarly, you could look at the bandwidth encoding, which is decreasing with the increase in level. Okay. So what we see here is that the more levels we have, the better our bit error rate is, but the worse our bandwidth efficiency. Okay, and if I'll leave you to see how the signal-to-noise ratio figures into that as well. Okay. So, again, those are the sort of very basic techniques for representing bits with a sinusoidal signal. And we see that there are trade-offs to be had in terms of bandwidth efficiency versus our bit error rates. And again, this is assuming sort of a fixed level of noise. Things that we'll see next time, that the characteristics of the radio channel will complicate this picture further. Okay, so for today, what we've seen is that we have a number of tasks that we need to fulfill to successfully transmit data over a radio channel. We've left out the one of actually transmitting it for now. The channel properties limit the rate at which data can be transmitted, so we have a cap on how much data we can transmit, and they introduce error into the transmission, which we then later have to deal with. Okay. So what we're our goal is to send essentially the least amount of information we can get away with, because that'll help, but to make sure that we have enough information to do some sort of error recovery within the system. All of these limits are, again, related to how much energy you're willing or able to put into a bit versus the noise experience. And so we saw sort of how individual components were designed to combat these factors. Next lecture, we're going to, again, look at the characteristics of this radio channel itself. And again, we're going to sort of see the sort of straightforward bits and then more complicated bits, the factors that influence the quality of the signal you're going to get. So we'll take up with that next week. And so, well, that's it for today. So we'll see you guys next week.